Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Slow travel. Hi, friends. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Rebecca. Today is April 11th, and this is day three of our travel article, Journey into the Past. We've gone to many towns in the past 2 days, and today we'll take you to four more places. First, I'd like to welcome Peter on the program.
Hi, Rebecca. Hi, everyone. Nice to be here.
Peter, we've gone to so many places, I've kind of lost track. I've lost track of where we've gone.
We're spinning through history.
Now, in the places that we visited in the past 2 days, which place would you like to go the most?
Well, I was thinking about this. You mentioned it before we began, and I look at some of these places, some of them very dramatic sounding, like Tombstone, Arizona, where you can see the gunfight at the OK Corral, or Williamsburg, Virginia, where you can see, you know, that's probably the most distant in history of these places, going all the way back to the 18th century, before America was even America as we know it, before it was an independent country. But I think the place I'd like to go to of this list is Cape May, New Jersey, because I feel like some of these places I have been to. I've visited Harper's Ferry. I've visited the Amish country. And the other places like Tombstone or Hawaii or Williamsburg, I haven't been there, but I feel like I've been there because what they are famous for is so often seen in movies, TV, advertisements. You know, I feel like, and this is terrible, of course, probably doesn't say much for me as a person, but, you know, I haven't been to Hawaii, but I feel like I have been because you see it so much on TV. And it's the same with the Old West of Tombstone or Colonial Williamsburg. But Cape May, New Jersey, it's described as basically just famous for its Victorian charm, which is to say 19th century charm. And it has beaches, it has a small town vibe, boutique inns. But for me, it also has mystery. I have no clear image, apart from the picture that appears there in our magazine, of what Cape May, New Jersey is like. And so I'm at that age now where I'm more, I like to be intrigued by things because, you know, as you go through life, you begin to see more and more and you begin to, you know, recognize things. There's fewer and fewer new things to experience, it seems, as we go on through life. So, Cape May, though, would be the newest of these places for me. So I think that's, from this list, that's where I'd like to go.
Okay, that's a good answer. I'm not quite sure where I want to go out of this list. To be truly honest, I'm not a really big fan of like historical reenactments and things like that. It's just not really a big, you know, it's just not a big attraction for me.
Where would you go today if you could go anywhere? All expenses paid.
You mean anywhere in the world?
Anywhere in the world, yeah. Instead of one of these historical places, what would, you know, whet your appetite?
I think I would go somewhere where there's a lot of nature.
Ah, okay.
So I love going places where nature is a very big part of that site.
How about the Grand Canyon?
Grand Canyon sounds good.
Yeah.
Grand Canyon would be great. Yellowstone would be great. Any of the national parks. Mm. I think I would love that. I also like history, but I'm just not really into this historical reenactment. Because like in the back of my mind, I keep thinking these are just paid actors.
And when I know it's not really here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're not really in 1800s. These are just people dressed in 1800 garb, the word we learned, colonial garb or whatever garb they're wearing, the costumes, but they're not really from that time period.
Yeah.
So I think for me, I'd rather go to places with really amazing nature or just really amazing culture.
Where you don't have to suspend the disbelief in order to participate in the illusion.
That's right. It's not an illusion. It's the real thing.
Yeah.
So I think in my mind, yeah, none of these places really grab my attention. I think they would be fun if you're in the, like you're close by. It might be fun to go visit, but I probably wouldn't go all the way just to travel just to that site.
Right, right.
Yeah, but that's just me. We are all different. Well, let's get into our first reading for today, and we'll take you to Galena, Illinois.
Galena, Illinois, one of the Midwest's most picturesque and historic small town gems, sits in the rolling hills of northwest Illinois near the Mississippi River. Galena is renowned for its impressively preserved 19th century architecture. The town also includes a rich Civil War history along with a charming Main Street and a vibrant arts and culinary scene. Over 85% of the town is listed on the National Register of Historic Places. Those into antiques, cozy inns, historic Americana, or ghost stories will love it here. Galena was also the home of President General Ulysses S. Grant. Virginia City, Nevada. Home of the 1859 Comstock Silver Lode Bonanza, Virginia City is perhaps the most famous mining boom town of the American West. Perched high in Nevada's Virginia Range, the town is packed with saloon-style architecture, wooden boardwalks, museums, and Wild West flair. Visitors can still ride an old-fashioned steam or diesel train through the mountains and explore the Mark Twain Museum, filled with artifacts and stories about his time here as a young reporter.
Peter, let's go to Galena. So here it says it's one of the Midwest's most picturesque. Picturesque is just like most beautiful. Like it looks like a picture. And historic small town gems. And it's set in the rolling hills of northwest Illinois. Now, the rolling hills, this is in contrast to yesterday we talked about Tombstone, Arizona, where we have rugged, mountainous tombstone. But today here, we have the rolling hills. So these are just much softer landscape. You have rounded hills, not sharp mountains. And this is near the Mississippi River. Now, what is Galena famous for?
Right. Galena is famous or renowned for its impressively preserved 19th century architecture. So kind of like the Cape May, New Jersey place that we were just talking about, these towns that are preserving 19th century architecture in their buildings and their homes. It also, and this was somewhat news to me, it has a rich Civil War history. That would be the American Civil War from the 1860 to 1864. Illinois is a state that we don't necessarily think of as having much to do with the Civil War, at least I don't. It's very far west from where most of the fighting of the Civil War took place. Most of the fighting took place in Virginia and the Deep South, and Illinois was sort of, you know, it's out by Chicago, if that orients you roughly where we are in the United States. And so I didn't know there was much Civil War history along there, but apparently it has not just some Civil War history, but rich Civil War history, along with, as it seems all these places have, a charming Main Street, a vibrant arts and culinary scene.
Yes, every place it makes sure to say they have a culinary scene. So culinary is just dealing with food,
right?
It's dealing with cuisine.
And I know there's people out there like you who just aren't that much into history, so they're
saying... But we'll be into food. I think most people are into food.
Right, but you're into food. We're all into food.
But there is association with the Civil War we see in the next sentence. Well, we have a bunch of things here. There's antiques, there's cozy inns, there's historic Americana or ghost stories. They will all love this Galena. But it's also important, Galena was also the home of President Ulysses S. Grant.
Yes.
Now, Ulysses S. Grant, for listeners who might not know this president as well, was the 18th president of the United States. He was, I think, two presidents after President Lincoln.
Yeah,
and
sounds about
right. And why did President Grant become famous? It's because he actually led the Northern Army. He led the North to victory in the Civil War.
In the Civil War, yes.
So it's because of his victory in the Civil War that he became very popular. So he's one of those, in American history, we have some presidents, they are winners. They're basically, they're generals. They won important battles or they won important wars. And then the people love them. them. So later on, they became president. And Ulysses S. Grant is one of those general presidents.
Mm-hmm. You can still see him on the $50 bill.
Yes. And if you're not sure who he looks like, look at the U.S. $50 bill. You will see President Grant. So that's another association with the Civil War. This is the hometown of President Grant. Well, let's continue. Now we are flying to the west. We are going to Virginia City, Nevada. Well, Peter, talking about Nevada, we can also talk about the Wild West once again.
Yes, we're back in the Wild West here in Virginia City, Nevada, home of the 1859 Comstock Silver Lode Bonanza. And we talked about how Tombstone, Arizona, yesterday, was also a town that grew up around a silver bonanza. Bonanza, a good word there, just means a lucky or successful situation where people can make a lot of money, like when gold is discovered somewhere, or in this case, silver. It is a bonanza. You could say we're going through an AI bonanza for tech companies in our current day and age.
Yes. And then Virginia City is perhaps the most famous mining boom town. Now, when I think of boom town, it's actually kind of closely related to bonanza, isn't it?
Right, right. A bonanza will often produce a boom town, because if silver is discovered somewhere, or gold or diamonds, or in our case, tech, then often, you know, people will go to that part of the country to be part of the bonanza, to, you know, profit off of it. And so you need housing for those people. And that means you need stores to sell them food and other services. And so a town will grow up around and because of that bonanza. And when it happens because of a bonanza, we'll often call it a boom town because it grows up very quickly. And it grows up because of the bonanza. You might say, why don't we call it Bonanza Town? Well, that was too long. Let's just call it Boom Town. And it conveys that same idea, though.
Yes, bonanza, boom towns. Well, you know, this is like a timeless concept. Like you said, like right now we're in an AI bonanza. We don't know how long it will last, but we also know there's many places in the world that they're just booming.
Yeah.
And there's boom towns. Can you even say boom country? There's no such word, but I mean, there's whole countries
that
are booming because of AI.
Right, right, right. It won't appear in the dictionary, but you could say that. People probably know what you meant.
Yes. And then, so back to Virginia City, Nevada. So it became very, very rich because of the silver being discovered there. And where is it located? Here, it's a really interesting phrase that they use, perched high.
Yeah.
Because when I think of perch, it sounds like a bird, right?
Exactly,
yes. It sounds like a bird being perched on a tree.
Right, and I think the author uses that deliberately to sort of establish the outdoors kind of part of nature feel that the town has, because it is located in this mountain range, the Nevada-Virginia range of mountains. So you're out there with birds and clouds and, you know, mountain air. And so the town itself in this case is perching high in Nevada's Virginia range, packed with saloon-style architecture. We learned that word yesterday. It's 19th century speak for a bar or a pub or a tavern, a saloon. Wooden boardwalks, that's sidewalk made of wood, and museums, and Wild West flair, meaning Wild West excitement.
Yes, and then if you love trains, this is a good place for you. I love trains. I think this has just made Virginia City the place I like to go to the most out of our reading so far. So here, visitors, they can ride old-fashioned steam or diesel train through the mountains. And it's interesting. There's a Mark Twain Museum here. Now, Peter, let's get everybody up to date. Mark Twain, this is one of the most famous American writers, right?
Right, right.
And he gave us characters like Tom Sawyer.
Tom Sawyer,
Huckleberry Finn.
Yeah, very funny writer, very smart, intelligent writer, knew a lot about human nature and wrote about it very well, particularly American human nature. Real name, Samuel Clemens. Just a trivia note there. Mark Twain was a name he adapted just to publish his work under. Thought it was maybe a bit more catchy than Samuel Clemens. But I did not know this, in fact, that the town, he spent time there in Virginia City, Nevada, as a young reporter. And so the town has, at the Mark Twain Museum, it's filled with artifacts and stories about Mark Twain's time there. And yes, faithful listeners of Advanced will want to check back to, I believe, their July or May article. I think it's the May article of Advanced, May 2025, that is, where our Art of English feature is about The Adventures of Tom Sawyer by Mark Twain.
Yes, Mark Twain, wonderful American writer. Well, friends, let's keep traveling. This place, Virginia City, Nevada, I think that's the place I want to go.
Virginia City.
With the diesel and steam trains, with the beautiful mountains, I think that has just made, that's just the go-to place, I think. But let's continue traveling. We have two more stops to make, so let's get into our last reading for today.
Mackinac Island, Michigan. Horse-drawn carriages and bicycles rule the roads in this one-of-a-kind destination located on Lake Huron between Michigan's upper and lower peninsulas. Famous for its historic charm, Victorian architecture, and no-car policy, it totally feels like stepping back into a time warp. If you visit, you'll have to take a ferry, private boat, or small plane. Much of the island is a National Historic Landmark, and time seems to have frozen in the 1880s just the way the islanders want it. Deadwood, South Dakota. Founded in 1876 during the Black Hills Gold Rush, Deadwood quickly grew into a bustling, rowdy mining camp. Designated a National Historic Landmark district with over 60 preserved buildings, the town was brought into pop culture due to the HBO series of the same name. To fully immerse into the Gold Rush era life, you can explore the Broken Boot gold mine, visit the graves of Wild West icons like Calamity Jane and Wild Bill at Mount Moriah Cemetery, and stay in the historic Bullock Hotel.
Well, friends, now we travel to Michigan. We travel to Mackinac Island. Peter, tell us a little bit about this island.
Right. Well, Mackinac Island, in keeping with our theme, is a place where horse-drawn carriages and bicycles rule the roads. To rule the road just means that they are the most common vehicle that you will see on the road. In this one-of-a-kind destination, located on Lake Huron, one of the Great Lakes, so-called, of the American Midwest there, between Michigan's upper and lower peninsulas. It's easy to forget, but Michigan is that state that has, it comes in two parts because it's separated by the Great Lakes. Has an upper part and lower part, and they're referred to as peninsulas. Peninsula, just a body of land that's surrounded by water on three sides, not all four sides, like an island, but on three sides, that makes it a peninsula. So if you want to get there, you have to get there, or at least you have to get around in the town by horse-drawn carriage or a bicycle.
Yes. I really like the word peninsula. So when you think about peninsula, let's give a few more examples. Italy is a peninsula, right? It sticks out like a big, like a witch's boot almost.
Exactly.
It sticks out like a boot. Florida.
Florida.
It sticks out. It's a long peninsula. It sticks out. The Arabian Peninsula, Saudi Arabia and all those Gulf states, is a huge peninsula that sticks out.
Mm-hmm.
So these are all examples of peninsulas. So, yeah, Michigan's really interesting. We have the Northern Peninsula. Well, we don't call it Northern. We call it the Upper Peninsula and the Lower Peninsula. There's two peninsulas. And here, this Mackinac Island, it's right, like this is an island between the two peninsulas.
Yep.
It's a tiny island. And like you said, Peter, how many lakes do we have around Michigan?
Three
out of the five Great Lakes.
Out of the five. It's Huron, Michigan, Lake Michigan, and Superior, I think. are the three.
Well, I'm not sure what the three are, but I just know they have 3 out of 5. And this is the Great Lakes region between the U.S. and Canada. There is 5 lakes. Well, let's continue with Mackinac Island. It's also famous for its history, also Victorian architecture, and no car policy. It's nice. Not to have any cars.
It's almost Amish country all over again here with no cars around.
Well, I hope there's cell signal. If there's cell signal, I think I could vacation here.
Okay.
And it feels like stepping back into a time warp. That's the phrase that we started our article off with on day one, time warp, going like placing yourself in another time or place. And then if you visit, you'll have to take a ferry, private boat, or small plane. And so it feels like if you go to this Mackinac Island, you feel like you're still in the 1880s.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like you're still back in time, you know, riding around in horse-drawn carriages, no cars.
Yeah, it's interesting because it doesn't sound like Colonial Williamsburg, where the people create this illusion during the day but then go home to normal lives and homes. It sounds like the people live like this around the clock, the way it's described here. You don't see the word reenactor appearing here. It says that the island is a national historic landmark. Time seems to have frozen in the 1880s just the way the islanders want it. That sounds more like Amish country, where the people live that way 24/7 because that's how they prefer to live. But the difference being there's no religious conviction at the basis of this. It seems to be that, you know, people in Mackinac just like the 1880s and want to live like that.
They want a simpler life. And this is kind of part of the reason we're introducing all these places, because if you would like a simpler life or you want to be at a slower pace for a while, these are all possible sites that you can consider.
In fact, for the adventurous traveler, I might even recommend if you go to the States, you can see, because it says time seems to have frozen in the 1880s. Now, we just read about Tombstone, Arizona, and Virginia City, Nevada, which also were active in the 1880s, but in a completely different part of the country. So it might be interesting to set up a trip in which you visit Mackinac Island and Tombstone or Virginia City just to see how different American life could be during that general decade of time, the 1880s. Because certainly Mackinac Island, you will not find saloons, you will not find gunfights or silver rushes or gold rushes or anything like that, even though it's the same period of time in the same country.
Yeah. And then if you're interested in like gold rushes, silver rushes, other rushes, we have another rush for you right here.
You don't have to go far. Yeah.
We have Deadwood, South Dakota. And Deadwood, it was founded in 1876 during the Black Hills Gold Rush. And it also quickly grew into a bustling, rowdy mining camp. Rowdy.
That's a fun American word.
Yeah, rowdy. What do you think of when you think of rowdy? I think of like, you know, soccer fans.
They say the same thing.
They drank too much beer, so now they're really rowdy.
Or people at rock concerts, if the band plays a certain kind of music that kind of stirs people up, makes them, you know, kind of pushy, kind of roughhousing, kind of not paying too much attention to the rules, that's rowdy. Yep. Now, it's not outright criminal behavior, but it's sort of halfway there.
Okay. And then so there's also a lot of historical buildings in Deadwood. Here it says they have over 60 preserved buildings. They're all under the National Historic Landmark District. And then there was also HBO TV series.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yes. No, it's quite well critically acclaimed HBO series. This is about 20 years ago now, I think. But if you're looking for a good sort of modern Western, that is a Western movie or TV series that doesn't glamorize the West, doesn't make it a simple good guys, bad guys kind of thing, Deadwood is definitely worth checking out. There's some good writing there. There's some good acting there. Deadwood.
Yes. And then last, there's one more place you can visit. It's called the Broken Boot Gold Mine. You can go visit that gold mine as well as another cemetery. And some very famous people are buried here. There's Calamity Jane. What a name. Calamity. When we think of the word calamity, it's, you know, terrible events that happen. It causes tons of damage. Like we can say the typhoon caused great calamities.
Right. Yeah.
You know, the typhoon caused great calamities in that region.
Right.
But here we have a woman. Her name is called Calamity Jane. Can you tell us a little about little bit about Calamity Jane and her partner, Wild Bill.
Right. Well, I wish I could. I'm not quite as up on my knowledge of Calamity Jane as I ought to be, but I do know that she was a famous cowgirl, so-called, because most of the time we're talking about cowboys, but she was a cowgirl who could shoot a six-gun as well as any man, and was apparently, I think she performed with Wild Bill. Wild Bill Hickok is his full name, and together they put on a show that was kind of like a circus, kind of like a reenactment of the Wild West, not very long after the actual Wild West in history. This is just within a few decades at most after the shootout at the OK Corral, for example. And they were entertainers, first and foremost, who went around the country doing a sort of Wild West circus-like show in which they showed, look how well we can shoot guns and ride horses and do stunts and tricks with that, swirl a lasso, you know, that big long rope that has a loop at the end, and they use it to rope a cattle in or something. They would do tricks with that. Calamity Jane and Wild Bill sounds more like a wrestler's name.
I know.
Nowadays, Calamity Jane, Typhoon Terry or something, you know.
Yes, Calamity Jane. What a
Rowdy
name.
Rebecca.
Yes, Calamity Rebecca. Calamity Rebecca and Wild Peter. So on that note, Calamity Rebecca and Wild Peter, we need to end today's program, friends. We hope that you enjoyed our travel article the past 3 days, like taking us to some places we probably would never have thought of going. But perhaps in the future, if you are in the U.S. and you want to experience a different kind of history, then these are places you could potentially explore on the side. And on that note, we have to say goodbye for now, but we hope that you come back very soon for another wonderful edition of Advanced. I'm Rebecca.
I'm Peter. Take it easy, partner.
Take it easy. Bye-bye.